ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So there was a great discussion among the seekers of Brahman. What is the nature of the Brahman? What is the relationship between me and Brahman? And how can I attain that Brahman? Especially, this is the essence of the mantras 9th and 10th in the 4th section of the 1st chapter. To recollect what we had discussed, Brahman alone seems to wander in samsara through ignorance and thinking that I am not Brahman, and through the grace of God, grace of Guru, same ignorant Brahman, which is called Jivatma, slowly recognizes, I was never a Jivatma, I was always, I was, I am, and I will be Brahman only. As we discussed in the last class, there were so many Purvapakshis. In a sense, what they want to say, that Jivatma is from the beginning, only a separate soul wandering in this samsara, but he wants to get rid of this limitation, so he does spiritual practice, especially what is called upasana. Upasana means becoming like the object of meditation. Just as when we approach blazing fire, we feel more and more heat. And if we become one with fire, we also are known as only fire. Similarly, when a person approaches God, and the definition of God is either Sat, Chit, Ananda, or Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So this person, who was not Brahman, but by spiritual practice, slowly he changes his nature. He who was limited now becomes unlimited. Sarvam bhavati. This is one of the views of the opponents, especially a person called Bhartrupapancha. Shankaracharya refutes this view and says, first of all, the nature of a thing can never be changed, either by karma, action, or by jnanam, or knowledge. What does knowledge say? It only reveals what is. It cannot change anything. What can karma do? It can only remove the obstructions and then reveal the nature of a object. For example, if sugar is covered with dirt and dust, and then we employ certain methods to clean it up, and then the pure sugar will come out. So that cleaning process doesn't change, which is not sugar into sugar, but removes the obstacles. So then, the knowledge will reveal to it, this is the nature of the sugar. But it, either karma or jnana, both cannot change the nature of a thing. It is impossible. So this is one. Second is, how does one jiva become Brahman? And especially there was a person called Bhartrupapancha. He was a very powerful opponent long before Shankaracharya, and many people followed Bhartrupapancha's views, and this Bhartrupapancha claims, even though we are all jivas, by doing upasana. Upasana, remember, is also an action. It is a mental action, but for any mental action, physical body must cooperate. Normally, you can't lie down on a soft bed and try to contemplate on God. Sri Ramakrishna could do that. Swami Adbhutanandaji could do that. People who have absolute control over their mind can do that. But ordinary people cannot do that. Because the tendency of the bed is to make a person fall asleep. So here we have got this beautiful sadhana. That is what Bhartru Prapancha claims. That you go on thinking about God, you forget yourself, and then slowly Jivatma becomes Parabrahma. And the same logic applies whether you meditate, whether you do action, whether you obtain knowledge. No, Jiva can never become Brahma. Then what is it that Advaita Vedanta wants to teach? That what you are calling yourself, I am a Jivatma, it is a wrong opinion. You are suffering under the delusion that I am not Brahman. Just like a prince who was kidnapped and brought up by some street beggars, start thinking, these are my parents, I am also a child of a beggar, I have nothing, until somebody comes and recognizes him and then tries to prove. It will take quite a long time for that person to say, how can I be a prince? But in course of time, truth will come out. Because if we are Brahman, it has to come out even after a jillion births. But if we are not, no amount of washing the black skin of a rat is going to turn it into a pure white-skinned rat. It is not going possible. So therefore, what is it? This Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi, is one of the most powerful of the mantras. It is telling us that you will be Brahman, but for some mysterious reason, and no school of philosophy was able to tell, especially Advaita Vedanta, it says that you are suffering from avidya. And where from this avidya come? That was a very interesting topic. And even today, accepting, evading straightforward reply, even Advaitins are forced to tell that there is no such thing called avidya, because consciousness is pure, pure consciousness is pure jnanam, pure knowledge. Pure knowledge can never entertain even a bit, an iota of ignorance. So, it is not there. Then what about this samsara? Well, we have seen yesterday, according to Gaudapada, the whole purpose of spiritual practice is to understand that actually what you are seeing is none other than Brahman. But because of some coverings on your mind, you are thinking, this is not Brahman, this is the world. Brahman is one, world is multiplicity. Brahman is unlimited, the world is limited. Brahman is only one, so no difference, internal or external. Three types of differences, no species difference, no difference between two objects of the same species, no internal differences. So, vijatiya, sajatiya, swagata bhedas are not there. Brahman is bhedarahitaha. But I am thinking everything is differentiated is because of some power called avidya. So, just like a person mistakes a harmless, innocent rope for a snake, there will not be any snake there. What was there is revealed only. So, if you had come during daytime, when there is light, you would not mistake. If it is completely dark, you would not have that illusion. Only when there is phantom creative semi-darkness is present, then you will come to know about it. And Brahman is not also something which can be objectified. Brahman is beyond both the subject and object. Natu vishayikaranam. And then how is it to be done? Neti neti. This will come later on. Naiti. So this is not a denial of Brahman, but a negation of everything other than Brahman. That is entire universe. Moksha. According to Purvapakshi or opponents to Advaita, is not something that can be produced. Because if you remember, what are the four fruits of any action? If something is not there, you can produce it. If something is there already, but not here, elsewhere, then you can go there and obtain it. If something is covered with dirt, etc., you can clean it. If something is broken, you can repair it. Every action must bring one of these four effects. So Brahman cannot become old because it is eternal. Eternal means time doesn't affect it. Space doesn't affect it. So no subject can affect it. It is not an object. Therefore, it is not something which can be produced, which can be found elsewhere. It is everywhere, and it can never be cleaned up because it is ever clean. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Nitya Mukta. Therefore, the conclusion is Jnanat Eva Mokshaha. So the text, that is our Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, mantras especially, 9th and 10th of the 4th section, strongly declares that moksha is that remove the wrong notion, that is called moksha. And as soon as this is removed, what is original will unfold itself, uncover itself. It is just covered up. So for that, certain examples are given. And what is that? Vamadeva declares, I am the Mano, I am the Sun. That means, I am the whole creation. That is called Sarvatma Bhava. Remember, that is how the discussion started. How did Brahman become everything? Sarvam. How did it become Sarvam? So the answer is, it has not become. It was, it is, it will be everything. As I mentioned yesterday, as we discussed yesterday, this idea that Sarvatma Bhava will not apply. Even in your deep sleep, you don't say that when I am awake or dreaming, I always feel I am an individual. But when I go into deep sleep, I attain everything. No. Because what is the deep sleep? Just be bereft of all superimpositions. So from the viewpoint of Brahman, this word Sarvatma Bhavam doesn't exist. Only because we are thinking through our mind that I am frightened of something. But then somebody comes and says, why should you be frightened? Dada Madhusudana is there all the way. Where is he? He is there in the entire forest. So you just, whenever you are scared, you just call, Brother Madhusudana. And at every step, at any step, he will reveal himself to you and he will escort you to the other side of the forest, which the forest is comparable to a samsara. So Sarvatma Bhava means I don't have any desire. The moment I say there is something which is different from me, I have a desire, either positive or negative. The moment I feel I am everything, then the desire will disappear, which translated into psychological language means I am a very, very happy person, nothing else. And also we have seen earlier, especially in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Dvitiya Dvai Bhayam Bhavati. Fear always comes from the second. If anybody thinks Brahman is separate from me, Brahma becomes the cause of fear. When the same person realizes, I am none other than Brahman. There is nothing else other than me. Then that very Brahman becomes Abhaya Karana. All fear goes away. What is this fear? We also discussed the fear that what I have, I may lose. The fear that what I am desiring, I may not get. Both these fears will disappear when a person realizes I am Brahman. So what is the relationship now between karma and jnana? Karma is external, jnana is internal. Jnana is in the form of thought, karma is in the form of translating that thought into action. So Bhartruhari also says, why not we combine and obtain moksham? Combine what? Jnana, karma, samuchaya. This is called combination of knowledge and karma. Why not we do that? Shankara says, I already explained to you, a thing, the nature of a thing can never be removed, destroyed or obtained either through knowledge or karma. So there is no need. We are already free. But we are thinking like the person in the dream. After eating full, he feels, I am starving. I am terribly hungry. Or he is in the safest place and he is feeling somebody has dragged him out and then beating him black and blue. So liberation is not the result of karma. Liberation is not the result of jnanam. But both these help us only in removing our wrong notions. This removal of our wrong notion, that is the meaning of aham brahmasmi. As soon as I remove, then aham brahmasmi is not something to be practiced. It is something to be experienced. And when I deny everything, when that notion that I am not Brahman is totally destroyed, then there is no need to say aham brahmasmi because I know what I am. That is the essence of the 9th and 10th mantras. With that sections 9 and 10 are completely over. Now starts the next few sections. In the 4th section of the, what is called 1st chapter, 4th section, subdivided into several mantras. So from 11th to almost to the end, it is describing how this world is created. We have already seen it, I think, in the 8th mantra, in this very first chapter. But then now, from another angle, Upanishad wants to tell us what is this creation. Before we proceed, we have to keep 2 points in view. This first chapter is called Upadesha Kanda. And this Upadesha Kanda, or it is also called Madhukanda. What is Madhukanda? The section called, the chapter called Honey. Honey means here, that which brings unbroken bliss. How does it come? Only by, it doesn't come. I remove the obstacle, then I know I have neither death, nor ignorance, nor suffering. I am Satyam Jnanam Anantam Rupam. Sat Chit Ananda Rupa. That is the truth about it. But for a beginner, for a student, this idea that I am Satchidananda should not be taught. When we study the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, how many times Sri Ramakrishna cautions us? For a beginner, you should not say that all these gods and goddesses are false, that one has to think I am Brahman. This, especially half digested, this understanding was being propagated by Pratap Chandra Hajra. Then we have seen Sri Ramakrishna was telling very diplomatic way, you are a great person, you may be fit to understand. That is what Sri Ramakrishna is trying, diplomacy. Inside he knows you are the worst of the fools, the lowest of the ajnanis, ignorant people, pure ignoramus. But he was also fortunate in so many ways. He had the company of Sri Ramakrishna, unbroken company of Sri Ramakrishna for several years. I would say he was more fortunate even than Swami Vivekananda and other disciples who used to come now and then. But here is a person who lived outside the door of Sri Ramakrishna for several years together. So he was watching Sri Ramakrishna, though never understanding Sri Ramakrishna. Second thing, that the very satsanga of Sri Ramakrishna, how many fortunate souls, whether we know or not, whether they understood or not, who could gain the goodness, good fortune of having the company of an avatara purusha, not even an ordinary person. Thirdly, even the guru of Sri Ramakrishna, Totapuri, and he and this Hajra and Haladhari, practically they used to spend their time studying this Adhyatma Ramayana, etc. So in every way he was fortunate, but as Sri Ramakrishna says, Divine Mother keeps in every drama there will be a jatila and a kutila. That is what is called sarcastic or funny characters to make the drama a little more realistic. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling for the beginners to teach that everything is Brahman is not only not helpful, but it is positively what is called oppressive, negative. So therefore, we will have to understand this one. We have to find out where we are. Swami Yatishwanda Maharaj used to tell, the first duty of every spiritual seeker is to find out where he is. Honestly, he has to objectify himself and find, do I really believe in God? What is the percentage of my belief in God? How much is my life transformed by this belief of mine of the existence of God? How much percentage of longing for God, yearning for God do I have? Am I really trying to change my old samskaras into new samskaras? Because without this, as we are seeing in the daily messages, without change in our life, without slowly reducing our non-spiritual qualities and strengthening the spiritual qualities, spiritual practice, however much japa dhyana we do, is practically useless. So we will have to understand this fact. And from a practical point of view also, how many times I had emphasized what is spiritual life? It is an attempt to become more and more happy. And a person cannot be a happy person unless he becomes a good person. And a person cannot be a good person unless he understands the reality. So a person who has more knowledge, real knowledge, he becomes more and more good person, and his ananda also will increase. So let us judge ourselves where we are and what is our normal spiritual seeker's experience. I am a body, I am a person, I am male or female, and I see the world in front of me, and everything in this world consists of several parts. Every part is totally different from every part. Let us take from Anandamaya Kosha. Am I uniformly happy in the same way all the time? How many times I suffer? I feel depressed. I feel lonely. I feel restless. So apply it to all the other koshas. How many times my mind is changing? I think this is good. After some time, probably I am wrong. This is not good. Then another thought comes. Maybe a good thought. How long are we be able to sustain it? So we have to understand that the mind is changing. One thought is different from the other thought. One minute, I am thinking about God. Another minute, I am thinking of some worldly object. Maybe worse thought. Then what about the body? Body consists of several parts. So every part is different. You take a cot, there are several, there are legs, there is a thick plank, and there are some hooks to hang the mosquito curtain. So every leg is separate. So the plank on which we sleep is separate. Everything is separate. My hands, my legs, my eyes, my ears, every single part of my body, my liver, my heart, my kidneys, Everything is different. So, what am I experiencing? Difference, that is called Dvaita. So, God is also different. Jiva is different. Worldly object is different. So, God, world and Jiva. And between Jiva and Jiva, there is difference. Between every single worldly to worldly objects, there is a difference. And both these are different from God. This is called Dvaita Vedanta. That is where most of us are. So we should not say the world doesn't exist. And what do we mean by the world? We only have two judgmental values about the world. Really speaking, we don't think of the world analyzing in the way I am doing it. The only judgment is analysis is, am I a happy person? Am I a healthy person? Am I a rich person? Are my desires being fulfilled? Or am I a person who is disappointed in life, deprived in life, depressed in life, feels lonely, nobody cares for me? What type of person I am? So, every experience in this world is divided into two values. Am I a happy person or am I a suffering person? Happiness and unhappiness are the final judgments. So when a person turns towards God, he hopes to obtain higher levels, higher degrees of happinesses, from objective happiness to intellectual happiness to aesthetic happiness to moral happiness and to spiritual happiness, or the happiness of one's own true nature, Brahmananda. Every action that we do, every thought we think is only to reduce the unhappiness and to increase the happiness. There is nothing else other than this. So why am I giving such a long introduction? Because for the next few mantras, almost until the end, the Upanishad is trying to tell us that about the creation, description of creation. But earlier we have seen creation, how the first person became Shatarup Manu and Shatarupa. The male portion is called Manu, and he divided himself into two, and from there, so he became the cow. Both one wife Shatarupa became cow, and Manu became the bull. So every male species, Manu had transformed himself. Every female species, Shatarupa had transformed herself. Then that is one way of describing how this Brahman is manifesting, as if manifesting. Remember, we are not following Parinamavada. We are only following Advaitic view, Vivartavada, as if there is a snake. Really there is no snake. So, here, something interesting has happened. When, suppose if you create an organization. Organization is only a name. Then there must be a building where your office should be located. There will be some employees. And as soon as you think of the organization, first thing that comes is, what is the goal? Say, let us say you want to make a profitable business. You want to manufacture something, as an example. And then you start an office. What is the first thing? You must seek people who have knowledge about, who can really work for you. And of course, they will be paid, but they will also get what you call divided into classifications. There will be a CEO. There will be what is called vice president. And there will be different managers, national manager, regional manager, and your own office manager, etc., 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 will be there. And then you allot the duties according to their intelligence, etc. But the overall purpose is that all of them must coordinate. There should be no break in that coordination. That is why it is called organization. Every part must work seamlessly to fulfill the overall general one purpose. So for that purpose, you divide. And our ancient philosophers have divided them in the very beginning. Similarly, we see Socrates, a devil, had divided all human beings into four categories. The thinkers, the enforcers, the protectors, the suppliers, and the workers. Roughly translated, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. So as soon as God, so as if created this world, and to run this world, he requires people. That is the speciality of this few mantras that we are going to discuss now. So how first Brahmins were created, then Kshatriyas were created, then Vaishyas were created, then Shudras were created. That is what is meant to be conveyed. But just like the business, a visionary who started or who want to start a business organization, he has a vision. And in that vision, he has to find out, these are the people who are the brains. These are the people who enforce the directions given by the brains. This is how work has to continue. And there must be people to supply, office supply or industrial supply, supply of different machines, engines, maintainers, etc. Then there must be workers who will be cleaning, who will be maintaining, and who will see that the machines are running properly, etc. What a marvelous vision. Of course, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, so he will have this marvelous vision. So this is the origin of four castes. That is what Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all Upanishads also, tells. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. So there also he says, all the castes are created based upon what? Guna and karma. There is a deep relationship between guna and karma. If somebody is a sattvic person, he becomes the brain. As it were, the capacity to think, the capacity to separate the substance from the non-substance, to separate the, what we call, the truth from untruth, the workable from the non-workable, the useful from the useless. But he is a thinker, and he cannot go on looking the organization. So there must be some kshatriyas. These are called law enforcers. Who puts out the laws? It is the thinkers, brahmanas. As even today, brahmanas have given us this dharma shastras. Dharma shastra means this is dharma. And it has to be followed in this particular way. So they give quite a good number of varied examples so that most of the situations we can understand what to do, what not to do. So here, also same thing, there must be laws. What is a law? That which ensures the smooth working of any organization, that is called a law. And this whole universe's creation is nothing but a huge organization. That is why Brahma is the creator. Vishnu is the kshatriya. That is why he has got the arms, chakra, gada, etc. And there must be others to work out. Then there must be somebody to punish and to replace worn out parts, etc., continuously to renew. And that is called Rudra. So everything is going on smoothly. This Brahma Chakra is going on smoothly from the very beginning. So the Kshatriyas are endowed with tremendous muscle power, willpower to enforce these laws. But for any organization to run smoothly, one requires tremendous amount of suppliers, right from the smallest needle to the highest electronic component. I'm just giving an example. I know you know better than me. Just how many times we travel in a bicycle and how many parts this bicycle will have, even an ordinary person has no idea. And if it is sophisticated, I think 52 or 12 aeroplane or stealth bomber. How many millions and millions of parts will be there? And if one part goes, there could be terrible damage, including the pilot also. If he goes wrong, the whole plane will go down. So we will appreciate how many times we are traveling by airplanes, but we hardly give any thought to it. But how many thousands of people they examine as soon as the aeroplane lands, as soon as they, before takeoff, hundreds of workers, some to fill the gas or oil, some to examine every part of it. Only then they give the green signal, go. Then only the plane is travel worthy. They have to certify. But this is all done invisibly. So once I visited the Disney in America, and then it was all so much of fun. Everything is tip-top. One has to visit that place to see the organizational power. Everything, just as an example I am giving. So somehow when I was gawking at some of the things, traveling in a train from one place to the other place, one of my shoes had fallen down by the track. But the train will not stop. So I informed the conductor. He said approximately where. And then within 2 minutes, before the train stopped, he was there present on the platform. And he presented me my own chappal. Such efficiency many organizations have. And that is why the West is able to progress. Cooperation. Whereas in our wretched country, non-cooperation is the rule. That is why, in spite of brains, brawn, facilities, our progress is so slow. Only we are big in talking, organizing meetings and other things. Anyway, coming back, so the Vaishyas. So Brahman himself had become the Vaishya. And then there must be workers, right from the cleaning, mopping, to keep everything tip-top, to supply tea, coffee, everything, they are called Shudras. And lest this is not a scriptural imagination out of our experience, you look at any organization, you find these four components absolutely present there. And then all this will not go smoothly unless there is a binding principle. And that binding principle has been mentioned in this Upanishad as Satyam and Dharma. So, having created all the four castes, having put in motion this samsara, or even before Brahma put this samsara into action, he created Satya and Dharma. That is why in the 11th Anuvaka of the Taittiriya Upanishad, Shikshavalli, we get to Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. What is Satyam? To have a clear idea of what should be done, what needs to be done. That is called Satyam. Dharma is to put it into practice without the least bit of deviation. If I have no idea what I have to do, naturally I won't be able to do it. And if I have got an idea, but I must have the strength to do it, and that is how I have this Satya Dharma, both of them go together. Somebody is truthful, but he cannot put into practice. We are all like that. We can give advice. Every barber gives advice how to run the whole universe. But why does he remain a barber? Because he is only a blabberer. He is not really a thinker. So there are some people who know what should be done, but they do not have the practical skill. So as if Satyam and Dharmam are at the opposite poles of this world, universe, as if they are not coming together. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. First you practice, then you preach. And whatever thoughts came into Sri Ramakrishna's mind, intuitively, he put it into practice. That is why it is an embodiment of Satyam. Swami Vivekananda, Narendranath, understood. He may look strange to me. He may even appear to me abnormal. But I have never met a person, never seen a person whose thoughts, words and deeds absolutely tally. And this is what Sri Ramakrishna's own definition of what is satyam, what a person thinks, what a person speaks, and what a person does. When these three things become absolutely unified, that is called definition of satyam. So, Brahma created satyam and dharma. So, what is satyam? To have crystal clear concept of what, where am I, what should be done, and what good does it do, and how it should be done. All these fruitful, positive thoughts, creative thoughts, is called satyam. And to put it into practice in a systematic manner, not haphazard manner, that is called dharma. Dharma is practice. Satyam is clear idea what should be practiced. So, the whole creation now has to be run like a well-oiled machine with the help of the thinkers, the law enforcers, and the suppliers and the workers. And they must all be united. That is what Bhagavan Krishna says in the Gita, Svakarmana tam abhyarchya siddhim vindati manavaha. Even a Shudra is not deprived of moksha. Rasik was the greatest example for the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna. There were so many other people, I will not speak of them today, but Rasik prayed for guidance. Sri Ramakrishna told him that I will fulfill your desire, but you must fulfill my desire. Every night after your duties are over, so you sit in front of your house, create a tulsi mancha and take Harinama. But then we are also doing Harinama. What is the difference? Difference is Rasik was from the toenail to his hair of the head, an embodiment of Shraddha. There was never a crooked idea in his mind. How do we know? Because such a person is not fit to go to Sri Ramakrishna, become Sri Ramakrishna. So when Rasik prayed, Lord, I don't know, I am an ignorant person, but out of your infinite grace, you take me where you want to take me. And Sri Ramakrishna told him, this is what you need to do, but if you do that, I will come at the end and I will take you with me. Where do you think Sri Ramakrishna takes any of his devotees? He only takes, means what, is a common language. What it means is, Ramakrishna gives them, removes them, their ignorance, that there is no I and you, we are both and the same, tatvamasi aham brahmasmi. That is the final moksha. So this creation of these four castes, satya and dharma, is the very essence of the future classes. I am giving you an introduction. And then the Upanishad also warns as a final warning. He who gives up this body without reaching his own world, Svam Lokam, that means what? Without knowing that I am Brahman, if anybody leaves, then he will have to be reborn again and again until he understands that my Loka is Atma Loka. I am Brahman. These are the three important points. Creation of the caste, creation of Satya and Dharma, and a warning that the goal of life is to manifest this divinity and know that I am free. That's what Swami Vivekananda had done. We will talk about it in our next classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.